T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99. The game, Sweet 16, is now set for Thursday and Friday. And we have a chalky tournament for you. With every seed number one still alive, every seed number two still alive, every seed number three still alive. That is, I don't know. I can't find the stat. By the way, our audience is smart. You guys find that? Has it ever happened that the Sweet 16 has had the top 12 seeds all in it? I don't know that it ever has. I'm guessing no.
That I do not know, John Friggy. That stat I am not carrying around in my brain.
Yeah, I'm guessing no. That it's never happened that all four number ones, all four number twos, and all four number threes have made the Sweet 16. I just don't think that's ever happened. That's just a guess on my part. I don't have the stat in front of me. And if you're out there and you could dig it up, tweet it to us, because I'd be really interested to know if, in fact, that's the case. But the matchups coming up are going to be spectacularly good if you're a college basketball fan. Look at Thursday, Florida State against Gonzaga. That's a 4-1 game in Anaheim. That's a pretty darn good game. I mean, this Florida State team is really tough, good. And Gonzaga is really good. Purdue with Carson Edwards has just been lighting it up, taking on Tennessee. Tennessee very fortunate to have made the Sweet 16. Oh, Tennessee, man, boy, when it went south for Tennessee, it went south and sideways in a hurry, in a big hurry. They almost blew, it would have been a record, Hugh, 25-point lead, but a 21-point halftime lead when Iowa got it to overtime. If that would have been the largest halftime deficit in the history of the tournament overcome.
Yeah, it was some Tennessee Vols fans out there. They're a little nervous, too.
They were clutching.
They were.
Texas Tech and Culver against Michigan in Anaheim. That's a 3-2 matchup. And then Oregon, which is the outlier, the only double-digit seed at a 12 against Virginia. Those are the matchups on Thursday. Virginia finally starting to show out, Hugh. They had the little hiccup at the beginning of the game the other day, mm-hmm. When they opened up and everybody went, it can't happen again, when they were, trailing at halftime. But they seem to have found their feet underneath them. Oregon is the only seed below 5 that made it, and they are a 12 seed. And a lot of people are saying, well, I guess they're the Cinderella, but I'm having a hard time, and maybe you could talk me into it, saying that the Pac-12 tournament champion, a team that's won 25 games out of a power conference, is a Cinderella.
Well, it's because they're the lowest seed left.
Right.
And that's probably why. And then you look at the fact that they didn't have Bowl Bowl since, November? I think that's the reason why a lot of people look at them, and even though they won their conference, that they didn't feel that they were going to be this deep. I didn't have them going this deep in the tourney. And I think that was the pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. I think that's the pleasant surprise when you look at a team like Oregon.
Well, I think LSU being in the Sweet 16 Friday is a surprise, too, only because even though they're obviously regular season champs in the SEC, the whole Will Wade controversy, they managed to overcome it.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. For them to with everything going on with their head coach and him getting in trouble almost a week before the tournament even mm-hmm. started. For them to be able to do what they were able to do, that was pretty impressive.
And they're taking on Michigan State in what will be another 3-2 matchup. Auburn then takes on North Carolina. We'll see just how hot Auburn could stay in this run that they've been on. SEC yeah. tournament champions, and now they get to this point. I mean, Auburn's been impressive.
Yeah, pretty impressive. But you know what, John? Real quick, to get back to Michigan State, Tom Izzo was under a little bit of fire this week about that whole
– oh, I know.
That whole yelling at his player thing.
Yeah, he was.
And a lot of – it was amazing to me how a lot of people were, upset with him about the way that he handled that situation. That was surprising to me, because when you think about it, John, most coaches – I haven't been around a coach that has never yelled. I've never been around a coach that's never yelled. And for him to get that much fire, for him to be who he is, to get that kind of heat, I thought that was uncalled for.
And then this is what I love about Tom Izzo. So they went in at him. They went at his neck a little bit about this. And the reporters were asking Tom Izzo about – you got to hear this exchange, because Izzo's response when the reporters went after him about the way his team played in the first half, and did you kind of go after the guys again where you're at their necks in the locker room? This is classic Tom Izzo. You got to hear this exchange.
We went in the halftime. We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other and said, listen, it's okay, guys, that we got out-rebounded by a smaller team. You know, it's okay, but if we could find a way to do a little better job, it would probably help us win. And that's what we did, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, we had a love fest. We hugged it out, you know.
No, I doubt that highly happened.
No, it's not.
I doubt that happened. I really doubt that happened. I highly doubt that that was the case. Nah, not at all.
Auburn in North Carolina on Friday in Kansas City. Virginia Tech against Duke in an ACC showdown 4-1. And Houston and Kentucky. Well, that's going to be a great one in Kansas City, too. So a lot of great matchups here.
What's that, a 2-3?
Yeah, it's a 3-2.
3-2, yeah. 2-3. What's
I was just looking at it from the way I wrote it down.
I know what you said. It's just funny. I'm like, really, Tom?
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Semantics. But that's gonna be one. Like, it, you know, full transparency. There was a few games that when you saw them, you saw the slate.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't as appealing as others, you know. But this one, that Houston Kentucky, that's gonna be a very, very appealing game on Thursday night.
We're talking about the Sweet 16, which is set with all these seeds. And boy, I wish I could dig up that stat. I don't know. I've been looking around for it to just try and find it. Maybe Clark Kellogg knows it because I don't think it's ever happened. But I'm just guessing because I can't find the stat. Let's welcome into the program certainly one of the experts. If there's an expert, it's Clark Kellogg, who joins us this morning. And, Clark, we really appreciate your taking time here in Atlanta with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Clark.
Hey, good morning, John. Hugh, good to be with you guys. Nice to have 48 games under our belt and some pretty intriguing Sweet 16 matchups as we get ready for the action on Thursday. But I'm glad to be going home for a couple of days to regroup and recalibrate.
No question about that. Some great games being played. You know, me and John have been kind of going over it all morning. And would you consider Oregon to be the Cinderella in this tournament so far?
Yeah, you can actually go there. I mean, they're a double-digit seed, and they've been phenomenal making their way into the tournament. As you guys well know, they were not going to be in the field had it not been for that Pac-12 championship tournament run they went on, and they actually are not playing like a 12 seed. I mean, they're playing. Took a while for them to find themselves after losing Bol Bol, but a credit to those kids and to Dana Altman and his staff, they reestablished who they were and what they were going to be about, and they're as hot as anybody left playing. I think in the last five second halves, they've outscored folks by an average of 12, 13 points a game, which is quite remarkable. So they're rolling.
They are rolling. Everybody here is rolling at some degree because you made the Sweet 16. Let's talk about somebody, though, that's not here because I want to get your impression. Clark Kellogg, of course, arguably the top college basketball analyst in the country. CBS joining John and Hugh this morning talking about the Sweet 16. Taco Fall was not listed on anybody's draft board that I could find, Clark. No one's. But after that performance yesterday, and you could talk about the game itself because it was so great. Did Taco Fall play himself into the NBA?
Well, I mean, being on the draft board is one thing. Getting a chance to play in the league is another. You know, there's only 60 draft slots anyway. I'm not sure. The game is really different than it was 25 years ago. I don't know if there's a place for Taco in the league, but obviously that young man's got a lot more going for him than just hoops and being as tall as he is. But I think he may get a shot in terms of somebody at least inviting a man to take a look up close in a workout. And from there, I don't know what will happen. But I wouldn't project him as an NBA player in today's game. But, hey, it's like selling a house. You just need one buyer.
Right.
One person to put in an offer that you like, and you're off and running.
The one buyer may be Zion Williamson, who may say to his new team, hey, draft that guy because, I mean, what? But, Clark, talk to me about everything that game was. It was Taco Fall versus Zion Williamson. It was Johnny Dawkins against Coach K. It was Aubrey Dawkins, who otherwise would have been the superstar of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and the finish, the way Duke came back, and the missed shot at the end, and oh, my God.
Well, you covered the bases. I mean, a lot of branches on that tree. Clearly, it went to the top of the list in terms of top games for all of the things you mentioned, quality of play. Obviously, the Knights, I think I charted it. I think the Knights won six, maybe seven of the four of the 10 four-minute segments that you look at during a game, and still found themselves coming up short. And it happens that way in any game, but particularly this time of year in the tournament. It's one and done. A ball rolls a certain way. A call bounces your way. I mean, both teams played at a high level. And you can make a case that both deserve to win, but we know the reality is only one can. And do credit those guys, man. Zion made a big-time play to get that and-one opportunity. Barrett comes up with an offensive rebound on a missed free throw where had Taco Fall not fouled out, perhaps he's there to get that rebound. So a lot of top-level plays, and Duke survives, and I think the game of the tournament thus far.
You know, when I look at Zion Williamson and I look at his stature, I can't believe that this dude is 18 years old. What do you see his upside being in the NBA? I know he has a tremendous upside, but what type of player do you see him being in the NBA?
You know what, Hugh and John, I would just kind of like to see it play out. I'm not sure. I don't know if I could even project. I mean, certain guys that come into the league with a certain skill set, you kind of project, and a defined position. I don't, you know, me, Wally, and Charles were talking about. Wally thinks he can play the two, which is interesting.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, this is just, off-air barbershop kind of talk.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He's got great skill, and he's got great savvy and intelligence out there, and obviously the physical gifts are of another level for a guy of that, for a young man of that size. So I think he'll be an impact player. It's hard to project superstardom for any player. You just don't know how that'll play out. But I think he's going to have a tremendous career and great impact wherever he lands in the NBA.
We're talking with Clark Kellogg, lead college basketball analyst for CBS, joins us live on the WaveForward.com hotline this morning as we break down the Sweet 16. Clark, I can't find the stat. I don't know why I can't, and I'm not asking you to come up with it off the top of your head. I've asked our audience to kind of dig around and see if they can find it. I'm not sure.
They'll track it down for you, John.
Yeah, I know they will. I'm not sure. You know, in all the years I've watched college basketball, since the tournament went to 64 teams back 35 years ago or so, I don't think we've ever had all four number ones, all four number twos, and all four number threes. I've never seen a tournament go this chalk, ever.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. We didn't have a chance after we got off the air. Typically, our research crew will have that. So I'm sure somebody will bring it up. But I was wondering about it as well, so I'm not sure. But clearly, we've got the top three number ones, right? Yeah, well, yeah, we've got all of the top three seeds. And then I think Auburn is an outlier as a five. And then you've got Oregon as a 12. Am I missing somebody? I think that's it, right? In terms of outside of the top three seed lines. Yeah, Florida State's a four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, outside of the top three.
Yeah, you have two fours, a five, and a 12, and then everybody else is all the number ones, all the number twos, and all the number threes. I cannot believe, without even looking for the stat, that that's ever happened.
Well, if it has happened, it's only one other time, maybe twice, but I can't recall it, and I've been involved with the tournament with CBS since 93 and Final Four since 97. So I can't recall the time that it's been this chalky.
So now, as we look at it, Clark Kellogg, did Duke survive the biggest scare? In other words, when Aubrey Dawkins' tip rolled off the front of that iron and fell to the floor and the clock went to 0-0, did Duke win the national title because that's the scare they were going to get?
Oh, heck no. No, I didn't think they would. I mean, they're favorites, but, I mean, you can see that there's ways that you can make it tough for them. You keep the lane plugged. You make shots. You attack. You got to take care of the ball because live ball turnovers are lethal because they're going to make you pay if you have live ball turnovers. But if you keep it in the half court, compete on the glass, they've got tremendous talent. But, no, they're the favorites, but not by a prohibitive margin. So, no, it didn't change anything. You get scared during this tournament. Most championship teams do have a game where they've got to survive and make a play to get through six. But, no, they didn't win the national championship. They just survived is what they did. That's what the reality is. They survived to play again.
So as you look around and we see everybody is hot, but there is that one team that, you know, gets on that kind of – UConn roll, you know, I mean, where they just can't, and nothing goes wrong for them from their conference tournament on, and that's Auburn. And right now they're on that UConn kind of roll where they've taken a four game run through the conference tournament. Now they've turned it into six, and now they get North Carolina in the next round. And Auburn is that team that is probably of all the teams the hottest at the moment in that regard.
Well, I would agree with you. I would put Oregon in that category as well. I mean, when you have to, I mean, Auburn was going to get in that large bid, but you're right. They're playing with great confidence, great momentum. They're facing a team that is right in line or on the same line of championship favorite as Duke and Gonzaga and Virginia in North Carolina. They have been dominant rebounding all year long, and in the tournament it's been, like, ridiculous. I think they've doubled up the rebound numbers in the two tournament games they've played on the opponent. And we know Auburn is not a very big team, but they're extremely quick, very confident, and outstanding shooting the ball from the three, and that's going to be, I think that one will be on rollerblades in terms of pace. And then it's a matter of execution and shot making. And can Auburn rebound competitively? They don't have to win the glass, but they've got to rebound competitively to have a chance against Carolina.
You know, talking about these teams and what could potentially happen, would you be surprised if the Houston Cougars won it all?
No, I would be surprised if they won it all. I wouldn't be surprised if they got to Minneapolis. Their matchup with Kentucky, P.J. Washington status, is obviously a huge marquee headline in that one as we move towards the game. But I like Houston's toughness. I like their shot-making ability in the backcourt and on the perimeter. They rebound at a high level. You know they're going to fight, and they won't be afraid. None of these teams, obviously, you get to the Sweet 16. You don't luck your way to the Sweet 16. You've got to play your way there. So, I wouldn't be surprised. These are all really high-quality matchups that we've got on tap for the next couple of rounds.
All right, so, Clark, final question here. Who right now, if you're redoing your bracket, wins it all?
If I was redoing it, I'm going to stay with the way I've got it because mine looks pretty unscathed in terms of this stage. I've got Virginia, Houston coming out of the although I would change probably my Houston pick to the Final Four now with Carolina. But I like Gonzaga, and I still like Michigan State out of the East, and I still like Gonzaga to win it all.
All right. So he's staying with Gonzaga to win it all. Clark, we appreciate your taking a few minutes. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, John. Hugh, take care, guys.
Have a good one.
Clark Kellogg, CBS lead analyst, as we get the inside skinny from him. No, Taco Fall.
Dude, I personally don't think his game, like Clark said, I don't think it translates to the NBA.
I have to ask that.
His shot scores!
Atlanta United are back in action.
As they kick off Season 3.
Catch every game here, all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Sweet 16 is set. A lot going on this very busy Monday. Reacting to what took place yesterday in that phenomenal, phenomenal game between Duke and Central Florida. Hey, the more I think about it, the more you're right that Central Florida would have claimed the national title. They would have been.
UCF fans nothing because if you think about it like this, John, during that whole game,
yeah,
when UCF was going on a run and it got tight, all you heard was UCF chants.
Yep.
And then I just thought back about how obnoxious UCF fans were all year long. About the way that they played and how they were the national champions because they knocked off, who was it? Who did they knock off? Auburn and was it Florida? Somebody? Whoever they played.
Auburn in the bowl game, yes, go 13-0, right?
Yeah, so they've been pretty obnoxious. So I was like, yeah, this is going to be another reason for them to be obnoxious.
Yeah, their athletic programs had a hell of a run.
No, shout out to them. And I mean, respect to that. But it was just at the same time, you know, it was going to be one of those things where, okay, you know, it's just the Sweet 16. You know, it's not the national championship, but to knock off Duke, if they would have been able to knock off Duke like that, yeah, they'd have been a little bit obnoxious.
We have a chance this morning to open up our phone lines at 404-741-0929 and talk to you about the Sweet 16. It's gone chalk, and to the best of our knowledge, and without looking it up, even Clark Kellogg said, not sure that we've ever seen a Sweet 16 that had all four number ones, all four number twos, and all four number threes. And then you have two fours, a five, and a 12. They're totally chalk. Totally chalk as far as the tournament can go, just about. I mean, we have the top 14 seeds is what you have of 16 teams. That's pretty – and the SEC tournament champion and the Pac-12 tournament champion. So it's really a chalk tournament. But that's okay. I mean, it gives us some really good matchups. So if you're looking at it now, I want to ask you a few questions. One is, of course, you know, who's going to win all of this now when you take the best teams in the nation and put them into a 16-team tournament, because that's what you've done. And number two is look at Taco Fall. Now, if I'm Taco Bell, if I'm Del Taco, I'm having the conversation this morning. I just am. Hugh, I'm talking about it. I mean, the whole concept is intriguing to me.
The name?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say the same thing about Taco Charlton. I mean, I don't think anybody jumped at that name when he came into the NFL playing for the Dallas Cowboys. So it's just one of those things. I hear what you're saying, and it's there. But you got to remember, John, this cat still is in school. He's a college student.
Yeah, but he's graduating, so he may have already graduated as far as I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, his senior season's over, right?
Now, I guess if he takes it to the next level, then yes, I could definitely see that. If he goes to a team where Taco Bell is like big in that city, then yes. But I don't see it going.
Yeah, maybe a local taco joint like Taco Mac or something if he's on the Hawks. Now, he is not on any draft board. And one of my questions on my Twitter is, if you're a Hawks fan, would you want Taco Charlton?
I almost did it too. Don't worry about it.
Taco Fall to be on your team. He's not going to be drafted. Clark Kellogg says he's not a draftable player. I don't know. I mean, I think of different things. I think of
you're enamored by his size.
Well, sure, he's 7'12".
Yeah, but John, and the way he said it was the way that I kind of framed it. He's a big dude. He's not going to be able to get up and down the court like that. Now, if he can get up and down the court and run the pace that they want to run in the NBA nowadays, then yes. I think that when most people look at him, they look at him and don't think that he can be that guy. He can't be that guy.
No,
I can't see him running up and down the court like that.
And he may not make it to the NBA, but I just think end of the bench practice guy for starters. I mean, there are guys at the end of your bench that are DMPs, right, in the NBA, correct? So put him at the end of your bench as a practice guy because he's 7'12", and he's actually 7'6". And then, when Bol Bol plays, put him up against Bol Bol to guard Bol Bol. And when Zion plays, because, whatever team Zion goes to, if Taco Fall is in the league, Zion's going to go out in his first game against that team and go, oh, no, that's that guy again?
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. But the issue would be getting up and down the court. And then, with there being so much of an emphasis on ball movement, I don't think he would be able to survive at that level. I don't think he would be able to compete at that level. I really don't. I think he'd be more of a liability on the court than any kind of asset that you're thinking about, because I know you're looking at it from the defensive side of it.
Right.
But that's my opinion. I don't think that he would be able to get up and down the court with those guys.
Yeah, I just think, a set play on an inbound under your own basket and lob. It's like, Ralph Sampson, but taller. I mean, he's not athletic. I get that. But at the same time, they were running plays where they're just throwing it over the top. You get catch and jam. I mean, he's got to have some value to you, doesn't he? Am I missing this?
Don't get me wrong. I think somebody will feel that they can work with him. Hey, we can fix him. We can fix him. We can do something with this. But I just don't think that you could. I don't think if it's me, I'm not wasting a draft pick on him because that's a project. I honestly think that he would be considered a project in the NBA.
Well, that's why I'm saying to Hawks fans, I mean, you're not wasting a draft pick. If he's the fifth pick, you have five picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you just invite him to camp.
That might do that. But, again, I feel like with the pacing in the NBA, I think that would be an issue for him.
Do you think he's going to get drafted?
Do I think he's going to get drafted? Hell. The Hawks, what was it, 98, 99? Didn't they draft Priest Lauderdale? What was that year?
Yeah,
And Priest went to school together. and I remember I was trying to tell Daryl, I don't remember on camp. Me and him were on campus at the same time. I don't remember a game that he played in. Now, granted, that was around the time where I was getting ready to go to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember before that. I don't remember a game he played. He got drafted on strictly size.
Right.
And, I could see in the old NBA them drafting him on strictly size. I think nowadays, look at Zion Williamson. You're talking about a guy who Clark Kellogg just told us, John, he's going to be a two guard. A two. 275 pounds.
As a two.
Yes. So that tells me right there, he, in the NBA right now, you don't know where you're going to play Zion Williamson right now. If somebody got him, you don't know where he's going to play. But he has enough athleticism that you're going to draft him and figure it out as you go along, because that's the type of guy that he is. So it's one of those things that when you look at his play, and we don't know where he's going to play, and then you look at Taco, he's not that athlete that Zion is. You know what I mean?
Nobody is.
Yeah, but that's the game. That's the game. That's the NBA game today. That's the NBA
game. I'm not comparing him
today.
To the number one lock.
No, but what I'm saying is this. You would play Taco at center.
Right.
Zion, you might play at center. You might be too small for that. But that's what I'm saying, because they're more athletic in the NBA.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where if Taco was born in the 70s, it would be the other way around.
It may be.
You know what I mean?
And that's the game has changed. I get it.
The game has changed.
I mean, but just the idea of the photo of Taco and Trey together.
Yeah, I know. You're, in your mind, you have them on the team,
I guess.
And you already got the Taco Bell endorsements lined up.
Right.
You got all of that. But it's like, okay, is how functional is he really in the NBA?
One of the other questions we have this morning about basketball is Trae Young actually going to win Rookie of the Year? Do you think he ought to win Rookie of the Year? And we talked about how, you know, suddenly you have this Rookie of the Year chatter, you know, bubbling up because ESPN was noting that some of the NBA players are tweeting out that Trae is Rookie of the Year and not Luka. And suddenly I think Dallas is a little bit in its feelings, because DallasNews.com, which is the Dallas Morning News, has a big article this morning with a big headline. Here's their article this morning in the Dallas Morning News, okay? Think Trae Young is more deserving of Rookie of the Year than Mavs Luka Doncic? Your contrarian is showing, and it's absurd. So the Dallas Morning News is saying it's absurd to think that Trae Young is more deserving of Rookie of the Year than Luka Doncic, which means they're a little worried in Dallas that Trae Young might be Rookie of the Year.
Well, it's funny that we said this before, that these two young men, their futures are going to be tied together for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's proven that now, because we're talking about both of these guys in the vein of being Rookie of the Year. I think right now, if you'd asked me a few months ago if Luka Doncic was going to be the Rookie of the Year, I would have said yes, wholeheartedly. Trae Young does not stand a chance. But what Trae Young has done after the All-Star game up until now, I mean, you have to consider him for the Rookie of the Year. He has to be the Rookie of the Year.
It is the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929. What do you think? Is Trae Young the Rookie of the Year? Would you draft Taco? Would you draft him if you were the Hawks? You have 5 picks. Would you take him? People are saying, no, he's Eddie Tavares. All right, so what? I just ask it. Would you do it? Hey, Tavares ever play against Zion? Eddie Tavares ever block Zion? That's next. 404-741-0929. Your calls as we continue with John and you on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Or taste the same. Ask for Bonnie Plants by name. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, Tony Schiavone from the Kia Studios on your home of tomorrow night's Hawks-Pelicans matchup. Tip-off 8 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win.
Oh! It's our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hey, it's a Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game on this Monday. Break out chalk, 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 because that's exactly what the Sweet 16 has become. And I'm still trying to find out that stat, by the way. I'm still on the march for that thing to see if anybody out there can find out. I do not believe that when they went to 64 teams, Hugh, in 1985. And I do not believe that since 1985, when they went to 64, that all four number ones, all four number twos, and all four number threes have entered the Sweet 16 in the same year. I don't think that's ever happened. I haven't found the stat, but I don't think it's ever happened. But that's what we're talking about now. But I'm just asking the audience in case somebody could dig that up for me. We're talking about two guys, the long and short of it. Taco Fall at 7'6", who made himself into – he went into the zeitgeist yesterday. I mean, he became viral, all right? in that game against Duke. He was the, even though Aubrey Dawkins, Johnny's kid, by the way, I should mention that Johnny Dawkins made himself a lot of money. Alabama probably on the phone with him right now. And Texas A&M.
Oh, they, yeah, he coasted his butt off yesterday.
You know, he's gonna get a big job. And his kid showed up. Boy, his boy Aubrey, whew, wow, how about that? But it was Taco Fall who became kind of the, you know, breakout into the larger viral thing, kind of, you know, with what was going on with he and Zion. Yes.
Real quick, just some research. 2009, the 2009 tournament was four number ones, four number twos, four number threes, two number fours, a number five, and a number 12.
Exactly the same as this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's exactly identical to what you have right now.
I'll be darned. All right, well, thanks. Good job there, Abe. We're talking about Trae Young. Should he be rookie of the year?
Still loud, though. Loud as hell.
Turn that mic down? Is that what we're saying?
Turn my headphones down.
I turned the mic down. It's just his projection.
Hey,
he projects.
Yo, if he cussed on the mic, I'm about to say, hey, for real, for real.
We're talking about the long and the short of it. Trae Young is projected as rookie of the year by some NBA stars, and Dallas fans are not happy about it. The Dallas Morning News is saying it's absurd that Luka isn't, and would Taco make it in the NBA? That's a couple of questions for you. Cameron and Marietta wants to weigh in on Trae, on the Trae part of it. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Good, good. I definitely think, hands down, Trae has shown that he's the rookie of the year, especially in the past few weeks. I think if you just look back on the most recent performance against Philadelphia, what he was able to do against a fairly good defensive team, especially with Jimmy Butler one-on-one for some of that time, still be able to make the game-winner bucket. Things like that, I think he showed what Luka had showed and got everybody, the whole nation, excited about, the clutch performance, the mob mentality. I think Trae carries the same trait. I think he's a little bit more deadly. He's a little bit more to worry about on the offensive side.
Well, it's going to be, and I appreciate that, Cameron. Yeah, I tend to echo a lot of what Cameron just said. It's going to be fascinating what the vote is.
Yeah, it is. And if I can almost guarantee you, if he doesn't get it, people are going to feel some kind of way.
Oh, I'm going to feel some kind of way on the radio.
People are definitely going to feel some kind
of
way.
I'm raising my hand. I'm going to be right with them. Jeff in Lawrenceville wants to talk about Taco. Would Taco be a fit on the Hawks? Would you want him?
I don't know if he would necessarily be a fit for the Hawks, but some team, like perhaps the Knicks, that is getting killed on the boards and they need some help on the defensive side, that he could come in during certain positions. The problem that I see with him is on the offensive side, he shoots about 30%. From the line, and as soon as he gets the ball, they're going to hack him. So he would remind me of Dwight Howard. He could certainly be a huge defensive presence. And, you know, if a team like Houston, who has the scorers, and Olajuwon can groom him and, you know, just rebound the ball, pass it off, he could be a top one team.
Yeah, as Jeff in Lawrenceville, he does bring up a good point. Why guys like Taco Fall don't, Hugh, shoot Rick Barry style? Is beyond underhand? Me. Yes. Rick Barry says he can make anybody an 80% minimum foul shooter. Anybody.
It's not a good look.
Oh, okay. It's not a good look. The NBA is a good look, or the NBA is not a good look?
I'm just saying, John, it's not a good look. I mean, I just think that it's more for a cosmetic thing for most guys. But it's interesting to me that, you know, we're talking about him playing defense. In order to play defense, you have to be able to get up and down the court. You have to be able to transition. I don't think that Taco is fast enough to get up and down the court with these guys. I really don't.
All right. And look, I'm just enamored with the whole 7'6". I want to
see
Bol Bol versus Taco Fall.
I can tell, but I just honestly, I don't see Taco Fall getting up in.
Too soon right now,
yeah.
Man. Too
no,
soon.
No, I was about to say Taco Bell, and I tried to clean it up at the last minute.
Too soon,
but
bro.
But no, I don't see him. I don't see him getting up and down the court like that. Yeah. I really don't.
Eric and Gwinnett, is Taco, any chance Taco played himself into an NBA draft pick last night?
I think so. Because you say that I don't think Taco can get up and down the court, but look at Boban. I think he's more athletic than Boban. And, I mean, I wouldn't take Taco high in the draft pick. I'd maybe try to go after Morant. But Taco can contribute to a team.
Oh, I was thinking, yeah. I was thinking, like, the Hawks have five picks, right?
Exactly.
And I was thinking maybe with your fifth pick, what the hell?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, he's 7'6". You can't teach height. Look at DeAndre Jordan. He was in the 30-40 range of the free throw line, and he picked it up this year. Can always improve, and he's a young kid. So I wouldn't count him out just yet.
I hear what you're saying, but even with that comparison, I don't see him being as fast as DeAndre Jordan.
No, he's not.
That's my point. Now, like he said, you can't coach height. But the way the game is played, you have to be able to get up and down the court.
Well, that's it. If Bol Bol hasn't played since November for Oregon, how different would Oregon be with Bol Bol? He's 7'2". Bol Bol is projected as a top 10 pick.
Because he can get up and down the court.
Right, exactly. James of Loganville. James wants to weigh in on Trae Young. Hey, James.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I just want to say I don't put a lot of stock in what the NBA players are saying about it, simply because if you go back to the All-Star game, Luka was voted in by the fans, and the players literally voted him out. So you can kind of see some bias there. But I do have a question I want to pose to you guys. Are we still looking at awards as a body of work throughout the entirety of the year, or are the awards becoming who's hot at the end? That's my question.
I think for Luka Doncic, it was the what you're talking about. It was hot at the beginning, and it was his body of work throughout. I think Trae Young is throughout the year as well, but he's coming on strong. He's playing better at the end. Like, I think Luka Doncic came in and was playing well towards the beginning, mm-hmm. and everybody was talking about that. But when you look at what Trae Young has been through and how he's matured through that process, I think you have to give him the nod realistically.
All right, here's the way to answer that question to James and Loganville or anybody out there who's supposed to do this. Right now, today, Dallas Mavericks call you today, and you're Travis Schlenk, and they say, hey, you know about that trade we made? We're willing today to trade you Luka Doncic for Trae Young straight up. Would you make the trade if you were the Hawks? Daryl says yes. You would make that
Luka
trade?
Luka Doncic for Trae Young straight up?
This morning, the Dallas Mavericks call you in 10 minutes when the office opens up and says, hey, you know that trade we made? Where were you thinking this? We'll trade you Luka for Trae straight up right now today. Would you make the trade if you're Travis Schlenk? Would you trade Trae Young to Dallas for Luka Doncic?
If I'm Travis Schlenk, I wouldn't, because it fits. Trae fits what he wants. But if I'm Daryl, I'm trading that.
Why would you trade him, Daryl?
I don't know. I see more upside in the big man, and I always have. That's just me. I'm not hating on Trae Young. I love his game, and I love the excitement that he brings, but I'm just not on that side of the pendulum.
And I'm taking the draft pick out of it, because with the draft pick, should the Hawks get the draft pick of the Dallas Mavericks, the Hawks win this trade by a mile, okay? By a mile, they win this trade. If they get the number 6 or 7 pick to go with Trae Young, it's over. They won. You almost can't, you know, as long as that guy's a pretty good player, and you would think that Travis Schlenk's eye is strong enough that he's a pretty good player. Would you make the trade again? Would you make that trade, you? Forgetting about the draft pick.
No, I think Trae is what Atlanta needs. I really do.
He's a point guard. The value in that, as Travis said, there are a lot of good 6'7 wing guys. Not a lot of good point guards. That's why we made the trade. Big Around the Corner, Mike Conley at 9:20 with John and you. We're talking about Trae and Taco and some of the fallout of the NCAA tournament with you on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.